الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم بارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. ايها اخوه الله، استمع من الخويين فضيله الشيخ عبد الله بن صديق الضفيري حفظه الله في هذا الدرس الاسبوعي في شرح الرساله التبوكيه للامام ابن القيم رحمه الله. تفضل شيخ المشكور لك ورحمه الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فكنا عند شرح ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى لقوله تعالى: قل أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول فإن تولوا فإنما عليه ما حمل وعليكم ما حملتم وإن تطيعوه تهتدوا وما على الرسول إلا البلاغ المبين. بيّن الله في هذه الآية ثمرة طاعة الله وطاعة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن من قدم طاعة الله وطاعة رسوله فإنه يضمن الهداية بجميع أنواعها، هداية التوفيق والإرشاد، هداية التوفيق والإلهام والبيان والإرشاد، إلى أن قال رحمه الله: فإن تركتم أنتم ما حملتوه من الإيمان والطاعة فعليكم لا عليه، فإنه لم يحمل طاعتكم وإيمانكم، وإنما حمل تبليغكم وأداء الرسالة إليكم. فإن تطيعوه فهو حظكم وسعادتكم وهدايتكم، وإن لم تطيعوه فقد أدى ما حمل، وذلك لأن مهمة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم هو تبليغ دين الله، وهو له هداية البيان والإرشاد، وأما هداية التوفيق والإلهام فهي بيد الله سبحانه وتعالى. فإن عصيتم الله، فإن عصيتم وخالفتم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فمفهومه قد ضللتم، وما على الرسول إلا البلاغ المبين، ليس عليه هداكم وتوفيقكم، وذلك لأن هذا بيد الله عز وجل، كما قال عز وجل لما حزن على وفاة عمه أبي طالب مات كافرا، أنزل الله عز وجل عليه: إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. ثم قال رحمه الله: وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم، فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا. فأمر سبحانه بطاعته وطاعة رسوله، وافتتح الآية بندائهم باسم الإيمان المشعر بأن المطلوب منهم من موجبات الاسم الذي نودوا وخوطبوا به: يا أيها الذين آمنوا. فإن من موجبات الإيمان طاعة الله وطاعة رسوله، ومن مقتضى الإيمان وأن عدم طاعة رسول الله وعصيانه أنه مخالف للإيمان، منافي للإيمان. وذكر على ذلك أمثلة، فما يقال: يا من أنعم الله عليه وأغناه من فضله، أحسن كما أحسن الله إليك، أي من مقتضى نعمة الله عز وجل عليك أن تحسن للخلق كما أحسن الله إليك بهذه النعمة، وهذا شامل لجميع أنواع النعم والأرزاق التي يرزقها الله عز وجل للعباد. فمن أعطاه مالا فمن مقتضى ذلك وشكر النعم أن ينفق ويؤدي حق المال ويتصدق، ومن أعطاه الله علما ورزقه هداية أن ينفق من مما أعطاه الله عز وجل من هذا الخير العلم بتعليم الناس. ولذلك قال: ويا أيها العالم علم الناس ما ينفعهم، أي من مقتضى العلم الذي وهبك الله إياه واصطفاك الله بهذه المنزلة الشريفة أن تسعى لتعليم الناس. ويا أيها الحاكم احكم بالحق ما دام أن الله سلطك على رقاب الناس وأعطاك هذا الأمر، فمن مقتضى شكر النعمة لله على ذلك أن تحكم بالحق وتعدل بين الناس. ونظائر ذلك، ولهذا كثيرا ما يقع الخطاب في القرآن بالشرائع بقوله: يا أيها الذين آمنوا، يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام، أي يا معشر أهل الإيمان يناديكم الله باسم الإيمان، أن من مقتضى هذا الإيمان أداء ما فرضه الله عليكم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله، فناداهم الله باسم الإيمان ليرشدهم إلى وينبههم إلى أن من مقتضى الإيمان الذهاب إلى ما نادى الله له من الصلاة. وقوله: يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوفوا بالعقود أحلت لكم بهيمة الأنعام، الآية، أي من مقتضى الإيمان ومن موجبات الإيمان أن تؤدوا ما أمركم الله عز وجل به من الوفاء بالعقود، سواء هذه العقود بين العبد وبين ربه أو بين العبد وبين الخلق، وسواء كان الخلق مسلمين أو كفار فيجب الوفاء بالعقود. ونظائر ذلك كثير. قال رحمه الله: ففي ذلك إشارة إلى أنكم إن كنتم مؤمنين فالإيمان يقتضي منكم كذا وكذا، فإنه من موجبات الإيمان وتمامه. وهذه القاعدة قاعدة عظيمة، إذا فقهها وعلمها المسلم استقام له دينه واستمر على طاعة الله وابتعد عن نزغات الشيطان. ثم قال تعالى: أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول، ففرق بين طاعته وطاعة رسوله في الفعل، أطيعوا الله ثم قال أطيعوا الرسول، ولم يسلط الفعل الأول عليها، وقال: وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. فقرن بين طاعة الرسول وطاعة أولي الأمر وسلط عليهما عاملا واحدا، وهو قوله: وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. وقد كان ربما يسبق إلى الوهم أن الأمر يقتضي عكس هذا، فإنه من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله، ولكن الواقع في الآية هو المناسب، وتحته سر لطيف، وهو دلالته على أن ما يأمر به رسوله تجب طاعته فيه، وإن لم يكن مأمورا به بعينه في القرآن، فتجب طاعة الرسول مفردة ومقرونة. فلا يتوهم متوهم أن ما يأمر به الرسول إن لم يكن في القرآن وإلا فلا تجب طاعته فيه، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يوشك رجل شبعان متكئ على أريكته يأتيه الأمر من أمري فيقول: بيننا وبينكم كتاب الله، ما وجدناه فيه من شيء اتبعناه، ألا وإني أوتيت الكتاب ومثله معه. وهذا استنباط عظيم من ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى في توجيه الآية، واستدلاله بالحديث يؤيد ذلك. وهذا الخبر الذي أخبر به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قد وقع في الأمة، فهناك من يسمون القرآنيون الذين يقولون: بيننا وبينكم القرآن فنتبعه، ويردون السنة الواردة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، إما يردونها جملة وتفصيلا كالقرآنيين، أو يردون الأحاديث الأحاد الصحيحة الثابتة ويقولون: نعمل بالمتواتر فقط، لأن الأحاد لا تفيد اليقين والعمل. فكل هؤلاء مخالفون للإسلام ولما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن الواجب على المسلم طاعة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، سواء كان أمره مقرونا بأمر الله في القرآن أو كان منفردا أمره. فكل ما ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من سنته وصح إسنادها يجب العمل به، سواء كان منقولا نقلا متواترا أو كان منقولا نقلا أحاديا. ونعتقد بأن السنة كلها يجب العمل بها، وأنها تفيد اليقين والعمل، سواء كان الحديث متواترا أو أحادا. هذا والله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. نزلنا من طلب الشيخ عبد الله المصلفيق الضفيري حفظه الله تعالى in his weekly explanation of الرسالة التبوكية by الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله. He started off praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, invoking the salat and salam upon his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said, "We have left off in the text, in the statement of the author rahimahullah, quoting the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the messenger and those in authority over you. فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And if you dispute about any affair, then return it to Allah and the Messenger, if you truly believe in Allah and the Last Day. ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. That is better and with the best interpretation. The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala said, commenting on this, this ayah shows us the fruit of obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It shows us that whoever does so is guaranteed guidance, both types of guidance. The guidance of tawfiq wa ilham, that is the guidance of that divine guidance of being shown the truth, and the guidance of bayan wa irshad, the guidance of being able to show others and call others to it. And if people refuse to do this, that is, they refuse to obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done his part. He has exerted himself in the type of guidance that he possesses, which is bayan wal-irshad, hidayat al-bayan wal-irshad, the guidance of calling others to the truth. If people turn their backs on that, it doesn't hurt the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he has already done his job. And he is not responsible for you obeying him. He is only responsible sallallahu alaihi wasallam for conveying the message. And he has done so, alayhi salatu wassalam. And if you do so, if you obey him, then this is your happiness. This is your afterlife. And if you refuse, he has done his part. And so the part of the guidance of bayan wa irshad is the responsibility of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the responsibility of tawfiq wa ilham. This is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal that He blesses with whoever He wills. And it's the responsibility of each person who sees the guidance to follow it. And whoever goes against the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shown in this ayah that they will not be granted this guidance. That is, whoever goes against the teachings of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam will certainly be lost and astray. The Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam became saddened when his uncle Abu Talib died upon disbelief. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَدْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Certainly you don't guide whom you will, or you don't guide whom you love, but it is Allah who guides whom He wills. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, as Ibn al-Qayyim, he went on to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with obedience, obeying Him and obeying His Messenger. And the beginning part of this ayah is calling upon the reader and the listener with the name of Iman. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. O you believers, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. So by calling upon the listener and the reader with the name of Iman, he is making them feel that what is responsible of them, what they are responsible for, by necessity of believing in Allah and believing in His Messenger, is that they must obey Allah and His Messenger. And this is what comes as a natural consequence of true belief in them. And this is like when someone says, O you who Allah has blessed with wealth, treat others kindly as Allah has been kind to you. Or if one were to say, O you scholar, teach people what benefits them. Or, O you judge, judge in truth between the people, and so on and so forth. The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala commented on this part of the text, saying that what comes as a natural consequence of Iman, belief in Allah and His Messenger, is obedience to Allah and His Messenger. And if a person does the opposite of this, he is negating his Iman. And just as what should come as a natural consequence of Allah blessing someone with wealth, Allah has been kind and generous to this person, this person should be kind and generous to others. So when Allah showers upon a person His blessings and the goods of this world, the recipient of those blessings
should give sadaqa to those who have less. The same goes for those whom Allah has blessed with knowledge. They should be willing to teach that knowledge to others, with what benefits them. In the example given in the book, it's as if the example shown is saying, O you whom Allah has chosen with knowledge, share this knowledge with others. O you whom Allah has raised upon this high station of knowledge, benefit others with this knowledge. Or in the example about the judge, O you whom Allah has put in this position of authority, Allah has put the lives of people in your hands. So because of that, you have the responsibility of judging justly between the people and judging with truth. And this happens often in the Quran, that we see Allah Azza wa Jal addressing the believers saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Which means that what is going to come next is an obligation upon the believer and a necessary consequence of them having iman. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah goes on to say, thus we find often in the Quran the manner of addressing the listener and the reader with the different acts of responsibilities or the different acts of legislation which they have been burdened with. He finds Allah saying before them, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. So before issuing a command, Allah addresses the people with iman, saying, if you truly believe, then do this. Allah says, for example, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyam. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, idha nudiya lis-salati min yawm al-jum'ah, fas'u ila dhikri Allahi wa dharul bay'ah. O you who believe, if the call is made for prayer on the Friday, race to the remembrance of Allah and leave your business. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, awfu bil'uqud. O you who believe, keep your promises or keep your covenants. And in this, there is a feeling of there being an address made that the person listening feels that they are being told, if you truly believe, if you're truly a believer, then do what you're being told. Because certainly, iman necessarily makes it obligatory upon you to do this and that. This is from the obligations and the completion of iman. The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala commented on this part of the text saying, the ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah Azza wa Jal says, O you who believe, uphold your covenants. These covenants apply both to the agreements between the servant and his Lord, as well as the agreements and obligations between the creation amongst one another. And they apply both to those obligations that Muslims have towards other Muslims, as well as the obligations that Muslims have towards non-Muslims. And this is a great principle, that when the Muslim understands it, he will be upright in terms of his deen and will stay consistent in his obedience of Allah and will stay far away from the whisperings and the misguidance of shaytan. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah goes on to say, Allah then says, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. So there is a difference between the obedience to him and the obedience to his Messenger in the verb, which we see have been mentioned together in the repetition of the verb obey, and in his statement, وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, and obey the Messenger and those in authority over you. We do not see the verb obey repeated here. So we see that there is a coupling of obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the obedience to those in positions of authority, as he has gathered them with the same verb. That same verb, obey, applied to both the Messenger and the people in positions of authority. And it might be falsely believed that the obligation here is the opposite of this. It might be believed that whoever has obeyed the Messenger has certainly obeyed Allah. Certainly there is no doubt that whoever has obeyed the Messenger has obeyed Allah. But what is mentioned in this ayah is what is appropriate. And there is a very subtle secret to be understood here, which is that whatever the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands with, it's obligatory to obey. Even if it has not been commanded with in the Quran. And so, obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it is independent and only found in his statements, or whether it is coupled with a like commandment in the Quran, both of them are equally obligatory to follow. So no one should falsely misunderstand and believe that whatever the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded us with is not obligatory to follow until and unless we have an equal commandment in the Quran. That's not the case. And this misunderstanding was just what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was addressing when he said in the hadith, there is about to be a man who is full, his belly is full, and he's reclining on his couch. And he receives a commandment from one of my commandments. And he says, between us and between you is the book of Allah. Whatever we find in it, we follow. He went on to say, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, certainly I am given the book and that which is like it along with it. The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala explained this part of the text saying, this is indeed a very strong observation made by the author Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah when he's pulling this ayah from the Quran together with this hadith to mention what he has, which is that certainly there are going to be people, as predicted by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who will reject the sunnah. And this, our current situation, bears witness to this, as we have in our day and time people known as the Quraniyun. They say we follow the Quran and they reject the sunnah. Either they reject outright everything from the sunnah, or they reject categories of the sunnah. There are some people who reject the ahadith which are ahad. They only accept that which is mutawatir and reject the ahadith. And they say that that which is reported with the chain of narration, which is ahad, cannot bring about certainty. The obligation, however, is for the Muslim to obey Allah and to obey His Messenger, whether this commandment is found in the Quran and the Sunnah, or the Quran itself or the Sunnah itself. And if it's found in the Sunnah with the authentic chain of narration, regardless of whether it's mutawatir or ahad, then it's from the deen and it's obligatory to follow. And we believe this to be part of the Sunnah, and we believe it to be a source of certainty. This was the end of the text explained by the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to bless him and his time and his knowledge. And Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Baraka nabiyyina Muhammad.